again, I'll gut you like a fish.
Hi, I'm Chucky. Wanna play?
Behold! Fish Boy!
This is my boomstick!
Red Rum.
Carpet Day!
We'll tear your soul apart.
Oh, yes. There will be blood.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
What the prime time, bitch?
Hail Rodma.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the Three from Hell podcast. I'm Sam, and today I'm joined by Dino, Maylee, and what? Justin, and we are the Three from Hell plus Maylee plus Dino minus Tony. Hello, how are we? How is everyone? Well, we just watched VHS Viral to finish the first, the initial trilogy of the VHS franchise.
What a terrible conclusion.
Well... let's get into it. VHS Viral was written by a lot of people, produced by Gary Bacow and Brad Miska. Your production companies are Bloody Disgusting, The Collective, Hexen Films, and Divide Conquer. It was distributed by Magnet Releasing with a VOD release date of October 23rd, 2014, a U.S., let's list it separately, November 21st, 2014. With a runtime of 81 minutes, making it easily the shortest film we've watched so far in the franchise. Brought in at the box office $82,409. That's not very good.
Nope.
That's
what I read. I think it was a limited theater release.
It was, yeah. If you want to watch VHS Viral before we get into it, you can watch it on Peacock, Tubi, Sling, Roku Channel, Vudu, Plex, Amazon Prime Video, Fubo TV, or you can rent or buy it from wherever you rent or buy your movies. Or, as always, you can watch it with us at patreon.com/youdamnright for just $1 a month. You can get your first week free. We're gonna get into some spoilers here. Let's go ahead and get into VHS Viral, and we get things kicked off with the wraparound story, Vicious Circles, which is directed by Marcel Sarmiento and written by TJ Kimful, David White, and Marcel Sarmiento. Yeah, so we get started. We've got Kevin, who is an amateur quote-unquote videographer who is constantly filming his girlfriend Iris. She says early on, "I love when you record me," and then almost immediately gets really fucking annoyed with being recorded. They get an argument. There's an ice cream truck that is in a car chase in their neighborhood, and Kevin is watching it on TV. He tries to run outside to get a viral video of the car chase, but the truck speeds past his house before he can get it. Iris then receives a mysterious phone call or video call and wanders outside in a trance while the truck runs over a police officer that had just asked Kevin to back away from the road. Kevin looks back over and sees that Iris is gone. He then just starts chasing after this ice cream truck. While videos and images of Iris freaking out are being played on his phone. All while this is happening, the people in the neighborhood are getting weird pictures and stuff sent to their phones, and they are going insane. And then we just kind of jump into Dante the Great. Justin.
Dante the Great was directed and written by Greg Bishop, who also had a small role in there as the documentary director. Your cast, I'm only going to give you like three people because they're the three most important, which is Dan Caldill, which is Detective Hughes, Emmy Argo, which is Scarlet K, and Justin Wellborn as Dante the Great. So, untalented illusionist John McMullen discovers a cloak that was once owned by Harry Houdini. He learns that wearing the cloak grants him powers to perform actual magic and takes a stage name Dante the Great to perform his newfound abilities in front of large audiences, becoming immensely famous. John also learns that the cloak requires regular human sacrifices to work and hires female assistants to videotape the cloak devouring them. he uses his powers to summon and kill Clay Boland, at the abusive boyfriend of his latest assistant, Scarlett Kay. She discovers John's tapes inside a secret compartment in his dressing room and alerts the police. Though John uses his powers to escape custody while Scarlett is interrogated, John summons her from the police station. A SWAT team bursts in to arrest John, but he manages to kill them all with magic. Scarlett duels John over the cloak, but is overpowered. Before John can kill her, Scarlett uses a trick he taught her to immobilize him and prompts the cloak to devour him instead. Scarlett burns the cloak, only to find it hanging in her closet door that night. As she investigates, a pair of giant shadowed arms reach out and from inside the cloak and grab her as the footage ends. Finn.
Mm-hmm. Justin, go ahead and let us know what you're thinking.
Okay. So, upon watching the VHS franchise for the first time, this was one of my favorite segments.
Mm-hmm.
I still really like this segment. I don't have any real issues with it. Does it feel like a VHS segment? No. I agree with the criticism in that regard. But I think the acting is very well done. I think the premise is very interesting. I think a lot of what this short was trying to do is very good. I think it's very interesting. It just doesn't belong in a VHS film, I think, is the big problem. Which I think is pretty much what could be said about a majority of the segments in this film.
Mm-hmm.
Even to the extent where they cut a segment and, you know, that got cut for not being in line with the VHS franchise, yet all of this stuff made it in, but whatever. I gave Dante the Great a 9. Because I really like this one. Don't worry, it gets worse from here.
This didn't really do anything for me. It's never done anything for me. I think it's just kind of... I don't know. I don't really know the words to use for it. It just... It doesn't grab my interest at any point. Mm-hmm. And then it just kind of ends. There's nothing like inherently bad about it. I just don't think it's very interesting. I gave it a 5.5, which is the second highest rating I gave any short on in this film. Dino,
what?
It's your turn.
So right off the bat, I didn't have, like, when watching this first originally, I'm like, ooh, I don't think this is going to be good. Oh, shit. And watching this film, I agree. It's very much, or the segment, excuse me. It's very much a, hey, we had a short film and we tried to answer it in the previous VH1 or VHS movies and they didn't get back to us, or we were too late. And so we finally got in on this one because they wanted to do an LA one. They really should have called this VHS Los Angeles because this is all where it fucking took place in. And so, like, here we go. Here's our short film. Please give us a job doing a big budget movie. And, like, it didn't even feel like it felt like a sci-fi movie, a sci-fi channel movie. And yet at the end, I didn't feel anything for the characters. I felt like a pitch for a VHS TV show, if anything. And plus, it's never a believable concept when a magician gets international fame and everything else, like at that level that they tried to put across of it. I don't give a damn how impressive you are. You're a magician. But yeah, when it was all said and done, I'm like, nah, I really don't. This isn't doing anything for me. However, I give it a 6 for effort. If it had been a completely different, if it would have been a film on its own, I'd be like, okay, if they make something else, I'll give them a shot. But as a VHS entry, no. Mm-hmm. No. So Yeah, I give it a 6. And I'm being serious. Like, this took the fun out of me. This entry took the fun out of everything.
Oh,
this
yeah.
This might be the only episode where I'm giving you a straight-up numerical score. So, yeah.
It's all downhill from here, too. Well, it's a little bit uphill for, like, a second, and then it's back downhill.
Yeah, it's not that bad. But it's, you know. Yeah, but so, yeah. It's 6 abracadabras out of 12 cloaks. So.
Melee.
Oh yeah, that's my name. Okay, I guess it's my turn.
Thank you.
Seeing the first two movies with their segments, they had a lot of pretty interesting concepts about what they kind of showing, and I'm just confused.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in a way, I can kind of appreciate it the way that Justin does. But I can also see what Dino and Samathan are talking about. Like, right off the bat, it almost felt like I was watching a different movie.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't necessarily a bad thing, but it just felt like way too different from what the VHS like segments usually are. But, you know, I can respect it for trying to go maybe a different direction. And, you know, like, A for effort. They try something different. Maybe they didn't stick the landing for some people or most people, but, you know, at least they did something. And if you were wondering if this movie had a budget, well, I'm pretty sure like 90% of it went to this segment alone. The one thing I will give it praise for is the, like, the when they were fighting like on the walls and stuff. Mm-hmm. I thought that was actually pretty good visually. But in a way, it's almost similar to the. Actually, I'll save it for a future segment, but yes. If I had to give it a rating, just because of what comes after, I'll be nice for once in my life and give this a 7 out of 10.
Okay. Well, we leave Dante the Great and we get back into vicious circles where we see Kevin and the police are still chasing the ice cream truck. There's some teenagers that are on a bridge and they're trying to, quote unquote, teenagers that are on the bridge and they're trying to, you know, record videos and film the chase from on the bridge. One of them like climbs up on the on the edge of the bridge and falls off and does a crazy swanton bomb to the pavement and then gets ran over.
Brilliant.
By a car or something. Kevin gets stopped by a group of bicyclists and then they start helping him also chase the truck, and then one of the guys gets caught on the truck and his shoes fall off and his feet get fucking grinded down to a fine powder and dies, and then we go into Parallel Monsters, which Melee will tell us about.
I'm sorry, it sounds like a jerky voice joke. Like, I was chasing this car, and all of a sudden I got hooked on, and my shoes fell off, and then my feet dragged, and they drug them down, and they chopped them down to hamburger. Oh, God.
All right. Parallel Monster of Monsters.
All right.
Directed and written by Nacho Vigalondo, fuck you. Spanish inventor Alfonso works late on his newest proyecto, a prototype interdimensional portal.
Calm down.
When he activates it, the portal reveals what appears to be his garage. Alfonso witnesses a copy of himself looking at him sexually, revealing that the portal has successfully opened a gateway to a parallel universe. The two Alfonsos greet each other, overcome by curiosidad, and discover that they appear to be completely identical.
Can I stop you real quick?
Mm-hmm.
I would also just like to add that for once, Melee doing this bit actually makes sense because this entire short is in Spanish. Mm-hmm. Continue.
The most Spanish fucking segment ever.
Yes. Both agree to trade places and cross through the portal with their own cameras to explore and document each other's universes for 15 minutos. The original Alfredo explores his parallel house and meets his parallel copy of his wife, Martha Wayne. He introduces him to two men and a half, both named Oriol. In the living room, a pornographic soft film plays on the television and a sack of organs is displayed in the center. When the parallel Marta prompts the original Alfonso to perform a satanic ritual with the Orioles, he leaves the house and sees a large blimp biscuit with an inverted cross with that blurs demonic chanting. It is revealed that the two universes hold differing dominant religions, and when he attempts to record the blimp, the original Alfonso is confronted by the Orioles. Their eyes and their mouths turn bright rojo. And one of them takes his pants off to reveal a fanged penis-like creature. La pinga. In the original Universo, the parallel Alfonso discovers the original Marta asleep and takes photos of her before unveiling his own monstrous genitalia. Getting Marta awake. I promise you, this is all real. In the parallel universe, the original Alfonso stabs Oriol's penis with a screwdriver.
It's chorizo.
It's chorizo. He's back to the house. The parallel Marta takes off her robe to reveal that she has a similarly fanged vagina.
Vagina.
Vagina. The original Alfonso punches her and flees back to the portal, where the parallel Alfonso, covered in blood, stabs him and returns to his universe. You wish those was the end. However, the parallel Marta, mistaking her parallel husband, knocks him down and lets her vagina to devour him for punching her. Before the original Alfonso closes the portal, the original Marta appears and also mistakenly believing that her original husband attacked her, furiously stabs him to death as the footage ends. Finn.
Alright, who wants to go first? Anybody?
I'll go first.
Alright, go ahead.
Dick Monsters and Parallel Universes are cool. Three.
Three?
Yep.
All right.
Hi here.
I thought this one was pretty cool, honestly. Parallel Universe, cool. Dick Monster, cool. Pussy Monster, cool. I don't know. I don't really have a lot to say about any of these. I just thought this one was like, I don't know. I thought it was the coolest, most VHS one of any of them, honestly. I gave it a 7.
Wow.
I gave it an extra point for fucking dude the knocking punch. The fuck out of her when he was on his way down the stairs. Yeah, that was really fucking funny.
Yeah, I like that part too.
It would have been a 6, wow. But I gave it an extra point for that because it was really funny. Mm-hmm. Dino.
Simon. I felt so much of this fucking segment just dragged on, and I know it was meant to be tension and everything, but I'm like, man, I am dozing off here. But like,
also add, it doesn't help that the fucking movie froze like 4 times during this one alone.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. fans, folks, wonderful Patreons. This was the most hellish task to get through.
Yeah.
Like the runtime.
Taking us 2 days to watch this.
2 fucking days to watch this bullshit, and so. Like, I was so done with this, like, ambience and everything. I'm like, God, I am dozing the fuck off here. But, like, once it was done, I was like, okay, so a giant ghost blimp comes up promoting the show. Like, the promotion's harder than the music. by the time it was over, I'm like, whatever. It is what it is. My people love body horror. And so I give it a 6.
Maybe that's why I liked it so much. It is very body horror, like creature sort of deal, you know?
Substance!
Melee.
Oh, you gave yours already?
Yeah, I gave it a 7.
Okay. I wasn't paying attention. Or any of you, to be honest.
Yeah,
so, yeah. Who's talking?
Yeah, real. Me, when I'm talking to my voices.
Mm-hmm.
De vera, yo no sé que quiero dar un puntaje para este, porque de vera, tardó mucho para ver este segmento y de vera ya estaba aburrido. Y, pero de verdad, sí me gustó el concepto de multiversos. Okay. Eso sí estaba bien. Muitos. But seriously, I think...
Remember when Melee told us like 6 months ago he didn't know any Spanish?
Mm-hmm. I was really hoping he just did the whole thing in Spanish.
I wasn't going to stop him.
I ran out of words.
I was just waiting and listening for the fucking number.
Yeah, same.
The concept of like alternate universes was actually pretty cool.
Mm.
I guess as Samuel would say,
Samuel,
it was the most VHS of these segments. So I can see why he appreciated more the funny pingish and vagina. At the, you know, in terms of body horror, that was like, you know, pretty cool, nice little effects. But then those guys just turning into the smile too thing, it just looks so goofy. It took me out of it.
I said late night with the devil.
See, I don't watch many movies because I'm sheltered.
You're scared.
These assholes, okay. Yeah.
Not anymore.
Yeah. We're ruining you.
I wish I was now. But this was the first sign of things to come. Because maybe it's just me living in this United States. But for whatever reason, these people speaking Spanish, for whatever reason, I just didn't buy it. It didn't feel like they were actually Spanish.
Oy, necesito, lo siento, lo siento.
Vámonos.
Vámonos. Oh, hey, just wait till we talk about that one. But yeah, it's pretty cool, and almost feels like I'm dragging it, but then so is this one.
Yeah, this segment dragged.
That was the cool concept, but then I feel like they just went like the most boring route. It's like, oh, it's spooky and stuff like that.
No, that's spooky.
Mm-hmm. It's spooky.
Hey.
I was interesting with the, you know, the penis and the vagina, but then
yeah,
it just ended there.
Yeah, it was like all at the end. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I guess if you squint your eyes, maybe there's a discussion to be had about, I doubt they were actually even aiming for this, but maybe they were talking about domestic violence or something like that. Maybe that was the hidden message.
The heaviness of it at the end.
Mm-hmm. But then it just was like, I feel like at the last minute they remembered, oh, you should probably have a message for this little segment. So it feels deep and meaningful. But yeah, I'll give this a 5.
Yeah.
Was that spooky?
Well, we leave Parallel Monsters and we head back into Vicious Circles for the second interlude. We have Kevin, who is, you guessed it, still chasing the fucking truck. He is begging the police to help him save his girlfriend. Like, the police are not also trying to stop the fucking truck. Then we just randomly jump to a group of these Latinx members holding they're having a barbecue. Yeah, I don't, like, it's like the, I don't know what I'm reading says Hispanic, but the way they were, it was all cholos. That's all it fucking was. Mm-hmm. And they're all having like a barbecue, a cookout, depending on which side of the country you're on. I guess they were celebrating. One of them got released from prison. That's what this says, but I definitely didn't get that. The police helicopter goes flies above. Everybody starts freaking out, and the dude's like convinced that his girlfriend ratted him out to the police. Which, what?
These cookies.
Anyway, the fucking all the lights go out. Dog gets stabbed in the head. Fuck you. I don't know. It goes dark again. The music goes fucking crazy. Dude gets out of his chair and stabs everybody with forks.
I got booted from the call for some reason.
the truck drives by the, like, drives through the alleyway, and then Kevin goes through the alleyway, and then a propane tank explodes, and it's the biggest explosion you've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And we go into Bone Storm, which Dino was going to read to us.
Actually, before you go, I just want to say, speaking of things to come, this is where I start to realize, like, I'm pretty sure, well, it wasn't during the next segment where you asked, but this is where I start to wonder if the people involved with the first two movies were involved in this.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I'm, in a way, Dino was blessed being kicked out, because this was the most stereotypical, like,
yeah,
Hispanic things I've ever seen.
It was like out of all the, like, little cuts in the wraparound, this was easily, without question, the worst fucking one.
Mm-hmm.
It just made no sense. That's still debatable. I mean, it is. It's definitely not, like, cut and dry the worst one, but I think it's the worst one.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, let's go ahead and get into Bone Storm.
So Bone Storm, directed by Justin Benson and Aaron Scott Moorhead. Give him less head for this fucking thing. Written by Justin Benson as well. Skateboarders Jason and Danny perform various stunts in hopes of making an epic skateboard video. Their videographer, Taylor, pushes them into increasingly dangerous circumstances to injure or kill themselves so he can film the aftermath and sell it as a snuff film. Taylor also suggests that they continue filming in Tijuana, remembering that he heard about a prime skating location for them to finish their video. He calls out their friend Sean, who joins them in their trip to Mexico by paying everything with his father's credit card. Now, after enjoying themselves and buying fireworks, because, you know, Mexico, the quartet subsequently becomes lost and run into a mysterious woman. Once they find an old flood control channel, Taylor encourages them to perform more stunts. When Danny injures himself and bleeds under a large pentagram drawn on the ground, that's real fucking good placement, his blood quickly boils, and then the woman they met earlier suddenly appears. Now, as Taylor introduces himself, the woman tears his arm off, and a group of cloaked cultists who were using the channel for demonic worship attack the group. In the ensuing fight, Sean is fatally stabbed and bleeds out while Taylor is set on fire by exposure to the cultist's blood, which subsequently ignites. Sorry, I had something in my throat.
Yeah, my bad.
Where was I? Oh, bleeds out. Spontaneously ignites. When a monstrous roar sounds, the dead cultists rise as reanimated skeletons, Laparkas, and mount a second attack. Jason and Danny use the fireworks they bought, because, you know, Mexico, they brought earlier to destroy the skeletons. Seeing an opportunity to escape, the duo proceed to skate back toward the border as the creature and the cultists were summoning appears from a storm drain, picks up the wounded Taylor, and devours him along with his camera, and the footage ends.
Dino, you want to go ahead and tell us your thoughts while you're already in speaking mode?
Yes. Upon first watching it, I wasn't paying attention to the beginning of the segment. I'm like, okay, skaters, they're going to be fucking annoying.
Yeah.
I don't care. Do people still make skate videos in this era? Like, that's really a question I ask myself. And it didn't really pick up until the monsters came, and it glued my attention to the TV. This was very much the case again, rewatching it, because I'm like, I don't care about these people. And it very much is just a standard setup and everything else. It was like a shitty attempt of From Dusk Till Dawn. And I say that because they had like a little conversation in this one about, like, oh, Faces of Death. This, I'm like, is this an attempt at Tarantino dialogue where you talk about other medias to connect with the audience? And like, I actually liked the low budgetness of the skeleton monsters and stuff like that. Again, though, I feel like this is a pitch for another film. It kind of fit pretty decently, in my opinion, as far as a VHS entry. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, like, I felt like the action was starting, and then it suddenly ended. Like, yeah. We spent so much of the time establishing these guys, and yet the pay dirt was not really much of a pay dirt. It was change, as opposed to a giant dollar stack. I mean, you know, I appreciate when a lot of the superstitions and lore and beliefs of my people are used as a horror element, because we're into some spooky shit. Mm-hmm. But like, if you're gonna do that, come on, let's go for the full gusto here, man. I know you had a budget and everything, but this wasn't it. So that being said, I'm gonna give this a 6.5. Sugar Skulls out of 15 abuelitas.
All right, I'm just going to give you a 6.5.
Yeah.
I share many of the same thoughts that you had with it. When this one started, I this was like one of the few ones that I guess out of the three that we got short wise. The spoiler, this is the last like actual short we get the wrap up to the wraparound, and that's it. But out of the three that we had, this is the one that I remembered the most. And yeah. I knew that the first like 8-9 minutes of it is literally just these kids skateboarding. So I just got up and went to go get food and came back. Like I knew I wasn't missing anything.
Yeah.
And it does pick up a bit, but once it picks up again, like Dino said, it just kind of ends. Like, that's it. I thought it was cool. Like, they did some cool stuff. The fucking skeleton flipping the bird and then exploding into a million pieces was really fucking funny. But again, it's just another one of those that just like really didn't do anything for me. It just kind of it felt very lifeless. It felt very, very lifeless to me. Yeah, I gave it a 4. I'm not gonna yap about it. I just gave it a 4. Justin.
I don't really have much to say about this one. I thought I liked it a lot more the first time I watched it, and then I watched it again, and it gave me Kids vs. Aliens vibes, like that segment vibes, except for they are teenagers now, or a little bit older, and the dialogue's kind of like that, and I'm like, this kind of sucks. However, I'm giving it the same score as that, because there's no way I'm giving it below that, so it's a 6. Skeleton and cultists are cool, and skateboarding is cool.
Makayo?
You know, Justin was saying about the comparison to the Kids versus Aliens. And as much as some people in this call did not appreciate that segment as much as I did. That's not really the case here. It almost feels like, I don't know, maybe I'm being too woke, but it almost feels a bit distasteful, because it kind of is like it's trying to, I guess, tap into the other cultures, like, of our people, you know, representation, quote-unquote. But it feels like it's not doing, like, any research. It's just, you know, pick whatever monster or demon and just make them speak Spanish or give them funny names. Like, Gas Money Kid. Where'd you even come up with that? You know, the skeleton people were kind of cool, you know, the cult, but by this point, I really did not care. And after the Cholo segment, I was like, this is like the part of the movie where I asked Sam, like, was Adam Wingard and the other people involved in this one? Because I was like, there's no way you guys fall off so far.
Yeah. Well, don't watch Seance, but continue.
I'm just like, I'm a bit like flabbergasted, like how far are they falling here? Like, by itself, it's probably like not the most offensive thing, but like with everything else that's happened with this segment, I'm just so done with it. I'm giving this like a 4. I'm just so tired.
Well, let's go wrap up the wraparound vicious circle. We leave We leave Bone Storm and we get back into Vicious Circles. We see news broadcasts showing the chase and warning that several fires have broken out across Los Angeles. That's timely. With people killing each other after witnessing strange images on their phones. Kevin is still chasing this fucking ice cream truck and tries to get a taxi to stop, but the taxi driver will not stop as he is helping his friend, a porn director, film a strip tease with a young woman in the back seat. As this is happening, the woman asks him repeatedly, "You don't remember me, do you? You don't remember me. You don't remember me, do you?" And then she pulls a gun on him and reveals that the director had previously sold revenge porn with her in it, and that it has ruined her life. She forces him to strip in the back of this taxi at gunpoint and threatens to shoot him in the cock and balls until the director fights back, grabs the gun, and then a fucking cop car flies through the air and flips and crashes and crushes the fucking taxi, killing all three of them. This is where we should have gotten the next and final short, Gorgeous Vortex, but it got cut from the film. If you want to watch that, it is an extra, like, it's an extra in the Blu-ray and DVD releases of the film. It starts after the end credits, but we don't have the Blu-ray or DVD release, so we couldn't watch it. Anyway, we get back from what would have been Gorgeous Vortex, which in the actual movie, we just get a really weird cut in the middle for no reason, and then we come back. It is daytime now, which means Kevin has been chasing this fucking truck for like hours on end because it was pitch black dark, and now the sun is up. The ice cream truck is now empty, or it's now in an empty what would you call this? Like a whatever. It says drainage basin, but I feel like there's another word that could be used to describe it.
LA.
Yeah, it's found in LA, in an empty LA, with body parts strewn around all over the ground. He looks in at the driver's seat, only to see that there's just disembodied hands duct taped to the wheel. Kevin looks in the back and he finds several TVs stacked up on top of each other with a laptop that is uploading VHS tapes to social media. Iris appears on one of the screens and demands that Kevin uploads his footage to the broadcasters. He refuses to do so and explains that the tapes are driving people insane all over the city. But when Iris begins to brutally mutilate herself, Kevin relents and pushes a button to upload the footage. When the deed is done, Iris's image taunts him and he exits the truck to discover her corpse. Iris has been dead the entire time and she is laid up against the truck with a phone stuck in her mouth. Kevin retrieves the phone and it goes into selfie mode, and as he watches the screen and his nose starts to, it just starts to bleed, but he starts like, his nose is leaking like a fucking faucet.
Mm-hmm.
As Beethoven's Ninth Symphony hits, we see a wide closing shot of the LA skyline with fires burning throughout the city and helicopters crashing, and yeah, that was VHS viral. Let me go ahead and make this easy for you. I give this a 1. It fucking sucked.
Yep.
The wraparound sucked ass. Justin.
I don't come to VHS to watch the wraparounds. Mm-hmm. And I especially don't come to VHS to watch this wraparound. I gave it a 0.
Crazy. Alright.
You wanna know what dropped it? It was at a 2. And then the fucking thing that I forgot was the fucking weird pervert making her do that shit, and then she takes control of them, and then they all die for no reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't need to be in here. Neither did the Latinx people all dying for no reason. Fuck Latinx. This fucking wraparound 0. Fuck you.
Dino.
Fuck this movie. I've lived in LA my entire fucking life, and none of this bullshit happens. My
LA
people don't
never
freak
catch on
out.
Fire.
Well, no, totally not. my people don't freak out and think everybody's a rat and start shooting each other. This was just fucking trash. This is when I was like, oh, so I don't need to watch one of these fucking movies ever again. Okay, that's cool. Fuck this movie. And I went back and watched part 2 because, you know, that one segment, really good.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, I this was trash. And they really, the fact that they called it viral makes me really think that they were going to call it VHS Vadio. And I hate it. So yeah, fuck this movie. Negative 12.
Well, it's trying to stick between 0 and 10, so we'll give it a 0.
Okay, negative 0.
Okay. Melee, your thoughts on Vicious Circle?
Vicious Swan.
Vicious Circles, sorry.
You know, as Justin said, that we don't really watch for the wraparound story. That being said, this is easily the worst thing I've ever seen in my entire life. I can't even tell if I should be offended or not. One, for either watching a very bad movie, or two, for someone from who lives in another continent thinking that they know how to represent us with our people.
Mm.
Even though I'm from New York, but yeah, pretty much same thing.
Yeah.
I'm just flabbergasted that how do you even get that approved? Like, especially the Cholo segment. Pretty much any racial stereotype that you can think of for Latinos, you can pretty much find it in that one segment alone.
Yeah.
Just for that alone, it deserves a 0. The pervert thing, it was weird, but in a way, it's probably the most relatable thing compared to the other two movies, because that also dealt with, you know, perverts and filming and stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like that specific segment could have fit in, like, in those earlier ones in some fashion.
Right.
But it was, not it was still this one.
Yes. Not this one.
Speaking of which, the first two, even though they were all pretty much separate, there was still a connecting tissue. I've seen no connective tissue between this one and the other two.
No, there's not. There's nothing. There's nothing at all.
I'm even surprised it's considered part of the trilogy.
It is genuinely surprising. And so viral, I said it last week when we did two. Viral almost killed the franchise. It was received so poorly that it almost killed the franchise.
Probably should have.
Well, 4 more came out. I've seen 3 out of the 4. I've been saving the newest one. I haven't watched it yet because I wanted my first watch to be on the pod. I can say 94, 99, and 85. Light years ahead of Viral. Not even fucking close. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad they came back, but they took a long break after this one because it was bad. With that said, speaking of that poor reception, Justin, tell us what the people think of VHS Viral while add up our scores.
Critics and audiences have very much to say about VHS Viral. So, ladies and gentlemen, a 3 from hell first. The top critic score for VHS Viral is 0% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Let's go!
That seems high.
And the all critic score is a 32%.
How?
With the all audience score being 13%.
Still how?
So, I want to read some not previewed critic reviews first, and then I'll read the ones that I wrote down from the fans. And I don't know how these people wrote these reviews with positivity, but here we are. Grab on for dear life and expect a freakish, wild, and seriously fucked up ride from start to finish, which of course is every horror fan's dream. 7 out of 10.
Fuck you.
I can't even believe that's a review. Also, every installment is a mean-spirited little treat for horror fans, and in a genre that is largely defined by inconsistency, that's a tiny little triumph in and of itself.
You don't deserve eyes.
A very volatile and important reflection on the world's hunger for fame and at the cost of our own humanity.
Okay.
Let's just get into this. Its pleasures barely compensate for the vapidity of VHS Viral's sketches. That's an interesting way of putting it.
Sketches.
That they're sketches.
Mm.
A film that contains some of the sloppiest, most ineffective filmmaking I've seen all year. I actually agree with that for once.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Thank you.
I couldn't wait to hit eject on this whole jittery mess.
Yeah, that is another thing. The whole movie is very, like...
It's...
Jittery.
It's found footage. It's like found footage, but it's like poorly done.
It's found footage, mm-hmm. but they didn't preserve the tapes very well. Like it all looks like shit, but not in a good way.
It's found footage that should have been lost again. Like, mm-hmm. fuck
yeah. I feel as an unwatchable mess, and the critic review I'm going to leave it off on for the critics is the review I feel resonates with all of us. It was I was mostly waiting for it to end.
Same. Same.
Me. Audience reviews. I'll start. I'm going to go 5 to 1.5 instead of going bouncing back
five
and forth.
5-star review. Review to Spiral.
Them.
Wow.
2 of them.
Wow. Okay.
Hold on. Because the first one's not what you think.
Okay.
This is a really bad movie. If you know this before watching it, you will enjoy it. Get some friends, get drunk, laugh your asses off.
I don't know, dude. I knew it was bad going into it, and it was worse than I anticipated.
You were sober, brother.
Yeah. Oh, well. Maybe I shouldn't have been.
And then here's the serious 5-star review that I found, which is fucking hysterical. If you have a weak stomach, just don't. Or a fear of demons, definitely don't watch.
A weak stomach.
Demons.
Are you fucking Amish? Is this your first horror film?
Yeah, what? Weak stomach. Maybe the...
Dick demons? The dick?
I don't know, maybe that. Maybe like the dead... Whatever it was, like the dead stuff with the maggots and Bone Storm.
They dragged his feet until they bled.
They fucking grinded his fucking feet bones into dust. I don't know. That one's a little interesting.
I just love that every single VHS movie we've covered, there's a review where they're like, demons.
Yeah.
What's this one, the deal?
This one was demon heavy though, because I mean, if you look at it from like a mathematical standpoint,
it was two demons, one
50%
alien.
Of the movie was demon.
Yeah.
Yeah, and not well done.
No, right. I don't think either one of them did. Did the demon thing very well as opposed to like the first two.
Yeah.
4 stars. A good, solid movie. Good short films, good directing. Not quite as good as the first two. Two spelt T-O-O. Cool. But still pretty good.
Well, there's the measurements.
Pretty good, huh? Okay.
I feel like the 3-star reviews are more so where we fall rather than specifically in the ones that are just like completely shitting on the movie in general. I feel like the 3-star reviews are actually closer to where we feel about the movie.
I don't think there was, outside of the wraparound, if you ignore the wraparound and just look at the 3 shorts that they decided to keep in the
film, it's not really that bad.
It wasn't terrible. It was just very middle of the road. Yeah. Very bland, like lifeless, not much like thought put into it. But not something that, like, if it were on, I would be offended that I was having to watch it. Like, I would watch it, but I wouldn't be terribly happy about it.
Right. So 3 stars. Really hard to explain. Not a good movie by any means. Heck, maybe not even a passable one to most. But for some reason, I feel like they kind of tried to do some creative things. Really experimental with horribly sloppy execution, but I still respect some of the things they tried to accomplish.
I can get behind that one.
I agree. Also, a solid effort, but nothing went over the innovativeness and sheer insanity of the second installment.
Real.
2 stars. First skit was good, then it fell apart.
Someone loves magic.
Mm.
My review of this movie.
Justin's review, yeah.
My burner. 2 stars. Do not watch this. It's too evil and too vulgar. Stay away, all
what? Shut up. Me when the only movie I've ever watched before VHS viral was Passion of the Christ.
Yeah. One star. A massive drop in quality from the excellent VHS 2, this anthology movie lacks the humor or style of the original two.
Okay. Yeah.
And now, here we are. At the half-star reviews, where we know what's going to happen.
The worst film in the Halloween franchise.
This may be one of the least enjoyable movies I've ever seen. It is very boring. Its acting is awful. It's not redeemable at all. This movie sucks, and I love the rest of the VHS franchise, so it is very disappointing.
What was the first line again?
This may be one of the least enjoyable movies I've ever seen.
I think that's a very good way to describe it. It's not very enjoyable. There's not much to enjoy. Like, it's just kind of there, doing stuff. But none of it's, like, interesting. Yeah, I think that's a good way of describing it, actually.
I would rather sit on a cactus than suffer through this garbage again.
That's crazy. Melee's burner.
Completely destroyed the spirit of the original two. Account. So Sam kind of spoiled it. I was going to save this one for the main event, like, to end off the reviews for, but Sam already said it. This was a disappointment for the franchise that made it go into hibernation for 7 years.
Yep. Oh, man.
One of the worst movies I've ever taken the time to finish. And the final review I have here is just so ridiculous that they decided to comment this particular review on viral of all the movies. All the VHS movies suck. I mean,
kill them.
I'm glad that you. Why'd you pick viral to voice your displeasure of all of the movies?
Well, I just had to make sure I was onto something. All right.
That is it for the critic and audience reviews, and then now Sam's going to give us our reviews.
So, for VHS Viral, if you for whatever fucking reason skipped the VHS and VHS 2 podcast episodes, this is how we get the score for the VHS franchise. We take the scores that we gave each short and the wraparound, we add it all together, I run it through the 3 from Hell algorithm, and then we get the average score, or we get the all combined average score for ourselves. And then we get the average score the same way we get the average score in every other one. Anyway, VHS Viral got a 4.38 from myself. For Justin, it got a 4.5. I think I did these backwards. Hang on 1 second. Yeah, I got Melee's and Dino's mixed up because it's on the spreadsheet differently from where I had it.
Wow, okay.
Shut up, idiots.
Now I see who ghost wrote this.
Yeah, whatever. Fucking Mexicans. Melee got a 4. And surprisingly, Dino has the highest score for VHS Viral at 4.63.
Oh, thank God. Wow. Master Lewis.
So
I've never been the top of anything, so of course it would be the worst.
I think this might be the first time that Dino has had the highest score given for a film that we've watched.
Even Dead Alive?
Well, we all gave it a 10.
Okay.
Just checking. The last time Dino gave the highest score for a film out of everyone was Halloween Kills. And it was the only time up until VHS Viral. Put all our scores together, averaged out, and we get an average score for VHS Viral of 4.38.
That's too high.
So yeah, that was VHS Viral. That's the end of the initial trilogy, and then the franchise dies for a while, and then eventually comes back. But next week, we're going to take a little break from it as the franchise itself took a break from itself. We are staying in the found footage world, but next week we'll be watching As Above, So Below. Whoa! Which is one of my favorite films of all time, one of my favorite found footage movies of all time. So very good, and I am very excited for Melee to watch it because I know he has never seen it.
I have also never seen it.
Ooh!
Wow!
Speaking of which, okay. I have to go back to Viral one more time.
Okay.
I don't know. This is probably like, this may be a hot take, that, but in Three from Hell history, this is probably the worst movie I've ever seen in my entire life.
That's crazy, because
I'm sure we'll probably see shitty movies in future, you know, Seed of Chucky. But I think the fact that we pretty much had to watch this King of the Ring 2002 style. The fact that pretty much white people from Spain, from Europe, thinks that they can write about Hispanic cultures, or they know about us. That's probably why I almost feel offended that we had to watch this. And I'm pretty sure this is probably like the lowest score I ever gave like a movie out of the group for a single movie.
No, it's not.
Really?
You gave Halloween. You gave Halloween Ends a 1.1.
That is crazy. Because to be quite honest,
you also gave Resurrection a 3.
Mm-hmm. This would be weird to say. I feel like I would rather watch those, but I can find more enjoyment making fun of how dog shit those movies are.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even find any fun making fun of this movie. I just feel offended by it, and I hope I never get to see this again.
Yeah, I do have a question.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Is this higher or lower than Curse?
Oh, this is lower than Curse for me.
This is way higher than Curse. Curse has an average score of 0.667.
Oh, okay.
Mm. See, I almost give those Halloween movies a lower score because I'm actually invested in the Halloween franchise. So I feel much more offended by what they do to those characters.
Mm-hmm.
Here, there's nothing for me to be invested about, and I still feel so offended by watching it. That's why I hate it.
Well, I think it's harder to, like, because you could say, like, you didn't enjoy this one as much as you did, like, for example, like, Halloween Ends. Like, you gave it a 1.1, but you're saying, like, you would watch Halloween Ends before you would watch this again.
Mm-hmm, because at the end of the day, you know, this is a different style of film, because this is an anthology film. But even so, even if the segments by itself, like, even by individually, they may be passable, if you put them all together, I feel like nothing makes sense, that it almost feels wrong to even call it like a movie. At least with Halloween Ends, as horrible as the story is, there's at least a beginning, middle, and an end. There's a story. It's a movie. So it passes as a movie, like as structurally. Structurally, it's a movie. This one doesn't feel like a movie. It just feels like a collection of short films that someone found on YouTube. And that's pretty much how it feels. And I hate it. Well, so I can't wait to watch Sam's movie, because I'm gonna.
It's good.
You better pray.
It's very good.
For your sake.
I will say though, next week, if any of our folks out there are of the claustrophobic variety, you might want to skip As Above, So Below, because I'm not very claustrophobic, but when I watch that movie, it makes me feel fucking claustrophobic.
It's not as bad as The Descent, but it's
not as bad as The Descent. No, you're right. It's not as bad as The Descent, but it is. It's still pretty rough. See, I'm stoked on that one. I actually didn't know Justin hadn't seen it, so hell yeah, that'll be cool. I'm excited for that. But yeah, anyway, we're gonna get out of here. As always, follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and leave us a 5-star review. Tell your friends about us. Tell your family about us. Tell your dog about us. Tell your cholo friends about us if they're not stabbing each other with forks and blowing each other up with propane tanks, as they all tend to do. Mm-hmm. Go subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/ you damn right. Buy the merch on our fourth wall site. That link is, as always, in the description.
Give us money.
Yeah, give us money. That's cool. That'd be really cool. I think that's all. I think that's all I got to say. Dino, do you have anything to say?
Nope, we're good.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you guys. We'll see you next week with As Above, So Below. I'm Sam. That was Dino. That was Melee. And that was Justin. And we are the Three from Hell plus Melee plus Dino minus Tony. We thank you. We love you. We bye.
Bye.
We miss you, Tony.
We miss you, Tony.
I miss Tony's.